Chapter 5. A Cardiologist's Discovery. Steve Sinatra's Story. As an integrative cardiologist, I use both conventional and alternative medicine to help my cardiac patients. This approach has always worked superbly for me as a doctor, and above all for my patients, because it focuses on the metabolic operation of cells, and particularly the cells in the heart muscle that pump blood throughout the 60,000 miles of blood vessels in the body. As such, I have used many excellent nutritional supplements, like coenzyme Q10, carnitine, and magnesium, to boost the metabolic processes in the cells where energy production takes place. Years ago, after a decade or so in practice, I slowly became aware of a curious pattern. Increased patient complaints, notably arrhythmias and chest pain, angina, around the time of a full moon or intensified solar flare activity. I don't remember how I actually connected the symptoms with celestial events. It may have been a patient who said something. I certainly had no real clue how to explain it. In any case, my curiosity was tweaked, and I began to look for information, which led me into the amazing world of electromedicine. The term may sound way out in left field and conjure images of Dr. Frankenstein, Dr. Sivana, Goldfinger, and otherworldly contraptions that snap, crackle, and pop. However, electromedicine is quite an accepted concept, most obviously for diagnostics that include everyday medical tools such as EKGs and MRIs. Less accepted but gaining increased medical attention and respect are electromagnetic treatment devices such as pulsed electromagnetic field units to address pain and musculoskeletal disorder, pain-reducing transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation machines utilizing low electrical voltage have been around for many years. My research and conversations with experts has given me a growing understanding as to how electromagnetic events going on in the heavens or right here in the planet can have a response, positive or negative, on the heart, the brain, and the rest of the body. For sure, we terrestrials are not isolated from the rest of the universe and are subject to influences ranging from galactic and solar forces down to local man-made electricity and electronics. All beings are conglomerations of bioelectrical energy. In essence, our bodies function, for better or worse, as a collection of dynamic electrical circuits. One of the primary electrical entities in the body is the heart. Each beat is triggered by an electrical signal from within the heart muscle, activity that is recorded when you undergo an EKG in your doctor's office. Each signal, repeated non-stop during a lifetime, passes through cardiac circuitry, causing the heart to contract and push blood through the chambers and then out into your body. Heart disease can disrupt this normal electrical and pumping operation. For instance, problems with the electrical system, known as arrhythmias, can make it difficult for the heart to pump blood efficiently. Because of the electrical nature of the heart, it was natural for a curious cardiologist like me to be attracted to energy and electrical concepts that might affect the cardiovascular system in some beneficial way. In 2001, I was invited to speak at an electromedicine conference in San Diego. That's where I met Clint Ober. He had just completed his second study, How Grounding Affected Cortisol and Stress, and he was interested in discussing his research with a cardiologist who had an interest in electromedicine. He looked me up at the conference. We talked a while, and I was immediately intrigued by his concept. Afterward, we met in his RV and talked in more detail. There was another medical doctor present, as well as a researcher who had developed a cuff to measure blood vessel elasticity. The researcher had his device with him, and he used it to test our individual elasticity. You want your arteries to be good and elastic. Rigid, constricted blood vessels are symptomatic of high blood pressure and arterial disease. My reading was good, but Clint's was enviously better. He was about 2 years older than me, so I was very impressed. I remember thinking, how could this guy have a better result than me? Here I was, the big prevention doctor who wrote books and newsletters about healthy lifestyle. Clint said in his usual soft-spoken voice that he believed the results had to do with the fact that he grounded himself all the time. He slept grounded and he walked barefoot wherever possible. Clint also shared with me his frustration with the medical and scientific community that had shown little or no interest in grounding. He was having a hard time getting a foot inside the door of science. A new healing frontier. If anything, I felt like a door to a new healing frontier had been pulled open by the most unlikely of individuals. Over my decades of practicing medicine, I had heard countless inspiring talks from the greatest and most honored medical experts, doctors, scientists, professors, Nobel Prize winners. Clint Ober was none of those. He said he was just a cable TV guy who had made a discovery he felt could alleviate suffering. I was impressed by his integrity and intentions. He was somebody with a mission. I felt he was onto something very important and fundamental, with great potential not just for cardiology, but also for the healing community at large. He had just a bare beginning of scientific evidence to back up his observations. Nevertheless, as a cardiologist, it made a lot of sense to me. In addition, my intuition was telling me that this was big and exciting and on the mark. For years, I had been doing a lot of research and writing about antioxidants. In my cardiac practice, I had found that antioxidant nutritional supplements, such as COQ10, gave a clinically significant healing boost to my patients. I was curious as to whether there was an antioxidant and inflammation connection to Clint's discovery. Just a year or so before, Harvard researchers had published strong evidence to show that chronic inflammation was a leading cause of arterial disease that chokes off blood, nutrients, and oxygen to the heart and brain, resulting in heart attacks and stroke. So inflammation and antioxidants were on my mind when I met Clint. I asked him about inflammation. Could grounding reduce inflammation? If it did, grounding might represent a new weapon against heart disease, the number one killer in America, and many other common conditions linked to inflammation. I didn't know the answer. Clint didn't know. I asked if he could find out. He said that he would, and he did, pretty much on his own at first, and later with the help of a terrific biophysicist, James Oshman. Earth Body Medicine. Clint, with his knowledge of electricity and grounding cable TV systems, now began to exhaustively study physiology and the immune system. He quickly began putting two and two together. Electrical engineers knew that the surface of the Earth is pulsating with negative charge free electrons. Medical scientists didn't know that, but they did know that the body is electrical in nature and that free radicals are positive charge molecules at the core of inflammation, tissue destruction, and disease. Clint theorized that if earthing reduces pain, it must come from reducing or neutralizing the positive charge free radicals causing the pain during the inflammatory process. The free electrons must be putting out the fire. Clint called me one day, excited about having found another important explanation for how grounding was working in the body. It didn't just normalize cortisol, improve sleep, and reduce stress, as if those weren't enough. If somebody is in direct contact with the earth, barefoot or through one of his grounding pads, the free electrons flow into the conductive circuitry of the body and snuff out inflammation. Inflammation causes pain. People with pain who are grounded experience less pain. For him, the connection was simple. Get grounded, get well, get pain relief, heal. People talk about mind-body medicine. I've been practicing that for years. I never heard anybody talk about earth-body medicine before Clint. To me, this was another landmark finding, a major breakthrough. This was literally electromedicine from the ground up, a secret of the ages right under my feet. For me, the original anti-inflammatory and the ultimate antioxidant had been found. Sleeping and fishing grounded. After meeting Clint, I had obtained one of his prototype mattress pads and started sleeping grounded. The difference was profound. My wife and I were both able to fall asleep faster. I still use that same pad to this day. I wrote about sleeping grounded in my health newsletter in 2002, and a number of my subscribers obtained a bed pad for themselves. Some took the time to give me feedback afterward and said it had made a difference in their lives. In time, as I became involved in some of Clint's research projects, and heard the feedback from people whose heart functions had improved, the exciting potential of earthing as a tool against heart disease started to crystallize. I traveled a good deal, giving lectures and attending medical conferences, and sleeping in hotels has always been problematic. Later on, when Clint designed some portable models, we were able to sleep grounded on the road, just as we did at home. Now I never leave home without my pad, and I'm always looking for opportunities to walk barefoot. For years, I used to suffer with flare-ups of psoriasis, a common inflammatory condition of the skin. It would appear on my lower legs and elbows. I had always noticed that whenever I would go bone fishing off the Florida coast, the psoriasis would virtually disappear for weeks afterward. I attributed that to the healing influence of being out in the sun, the vitamin D, the minerals in the salt water, and time off from the daily stresses of a busy cardiology practice. In bone fishing, you spend hours casting for fish with a fly rod, while walking on white sand flats, knee-deep in crystal-clear water. After meeting Clint, I realized that there was another reason for the improvement of the psoriasis. I was grounded, barefoot in salt water that is highly conductive. As I was fishing, I was simultaneously giving myself a treatment. Now that I ground myself at night, the psoriasis is virtually gone. Bob Tolve, an old fishing buddy of mine from Scarsdale, New York, shared an interesting story with me after I told him about earthing. Bob is 63, my age, and has been in the construction business for many years. When he started out as a young man, he worked for a while with a crew of older carpenters from Norway. He recalled them telling him that if he wanted to last in the business, he should do as they do. First thing in the morning, go out and walk barefoot on the wet earth. That would take away the aches and pains of the profession, they said. Bob never forgot the story. Part 3. Connecting with Science. Chapter 6. The Original Anti-Inflammatory. The Earth itself is the original anti-inflammatory, and the planet itself is the biggest electron donor on the planet. What does this mean to you? Just imagine negative charged electrons, like a mighty unseen cavalry, galloping up through your body from the Earth and mopping up an outnumbered force of positive charged inflammatory free radicals. Electron deficiency, created by a lack of grounding, is eliminated, and a healing process unfolds. The inflammation, sickness, and pain in your body are but a manifestation, in large part or small, of an electron deficiency. The remedy is as close as the earth you live on. In 2000, Clint Ober was asked by a friend if he would ground an elderly gentleman who was bedridden with advanced rheumatoid arthritis. The man's hands, elbows, and feet were grotesquely misshapen and inflamed. He was racked with pain and could hardly move, and then only very slowly. He was receiving comfort and at-home support from Hospice, the national organization that offers services to patients whose life expectancy is 6 months or less. Ober said he would come and see what could be done. It took 3 people to lift the man out of the bed in order to allow a conductive bedpad to be placed on it. The pad was then connected to a ground rod outside. About 10 days later, Ober received a phone call from the man, asking if he could come over again. He said that a squirrel had eaten through the ground wire. "How do you know that?" Ober wanted to know. "I went out and saw it had been chewed through," the man said. Ober was puzzled. How could a bedridden patient be up and about in his yard in a matter of a few days? "That's what I did," he said. "I went out and saw it." Astonished, Ober drove up again. He found the man waiting for him, leaning against the front door. He said he was feeling better, and he was right about the wire. It had indeed been chewed up by an animal. After the elderly patient had used the bed for a year, Ober learned from his friend that the man was much improved. He was doing household chores, tending to his fireplace, and even carrying firewood into the house from outside. The swelling had gone down. He was stronger, and he moved, talked, and expressed himself with new liveliness. The friend said that the once bedridden man had told him, "I feel I no longer have disease in my body." This remarkable turnaround is nothing more than earth energy in action. It reveals the largely unknown fact that the ground represents the biggest and best natural antioxidant and anti-inflammatory that exists. In this chapter, we will describe the healing connection between the earth and physical inflammation. You'll get an idea how this connection has unlimited potential to reinfuse health and diffuse pain among disconnected societies in which there is increasing sickness despite all the money poured into medical research and treatments. But before we get back to the earth and how it snuffs out inflammation, let's first look at what inflammation is. Your immune system protects you against pathogens and facilitates the rebuilding of tissues at sites of injury or surgery. When a problem develops someplace, your body does the equivalent of calling 911. The alarm sounds. White blood cells and other specialized cells rush to the site, the first responders. The white blood cells constantly cruise throughout the tissues of your body, like police patrol cars, ever on the alert for viruses, bacteria, or other alien microorganisms, as well as damaged cells created by trauma or internal irritants. As weapons, some of the cells release a shower of powerful free radicals, called an oxidative burst, that aid in the destruction of invading microorganisms and damaged tissue. Free radicals have gotten a bad rap, and you will see why in a minute. But in reality, they perform an essential service to the body. Simply put, they are positive charged molecules, short of one or more electrons, that search for free electrons to become stable. You can call them electrophiles, electron lovers. Normally, these free radicals obtain their missing electrons by stripping electrons away from pathogens and damaged tissue. This activity kills the bad bugs you want out of your body and breaks down damaged cells for removal. As the remedial work winds down, excess free radicals produced during the immune response are neutralized by antioxidants, or free electrons, in the body. This response is triggered whenever you have a disease or an injury. It is called the inflammatory response. As a result, you may feel the familiar signs and symptoms of inflammation: swelling, redness, heat, and pain, and depending where the site is, decreased range of motion. Chronic inflammation equals electron deficiency. Inflammation comes in two forms, acute or chronic. The acute type takes place as an initial response of the body to harmful stimuli. It involves the mobilization of plasma, the yellow-colored liquid component of blood, and white blood cells from the blood into the injured tissue, as just described. That's okay, you want that to happen. Then there is chronic, prolonged inflammation. That you don't want. Chronic inflammation means a progressive shift in the type of activity going on at the site of inflammation. You get simultaneous destruction and healing of the tissue, but a harmful free radical encroachment into healthy surrounding territory. The destruction derby continues, and it can seriously harm you. Free radicals obviously have starring roles in the immune response, but problems arise when the process fails to wind down completely after the job is done. The good guys become bad guys on a rampage, ripping up innocent healthy cells. Think of security dogs that snag the burglar and then go after their owner. They continue attacking and oxidize healthy tissue. The immune system gears switch into overdrive, sending in more white blood cells that produce more free radicals. This activity is why free radicals have a bad rap, and why scientists unanimously agree that free radical activity is at the basis of chronic disease and the aging process, particularly accelerated aging and limited lifespan. We believe that normal inflammation veers out of control because of lost contact with the earth. People are suffering from an electron deficiency. The non-stop attack mode generates an autoimmune response manifesting as chronic inflammation. The immune system has run amok, attacking its owner, you. We've simplified the scenario, but this is basically how it works. A destructive process unfolds that can continue silently and indefinitely, even for dozens of years, and lead to so many intractable modern diseases. Earlier, we mentioned the new scientific term for this, inflammaging. Now you can see where it comes from. Inflammation as a disease maker. The idea that chronic inflammation could be involved in disease began to gain serious attention a little over 25 years ago. At that time, two Australian researchers, Barry Marshall and Robin Warren, reported for the first time that stomach ulcers were not caused by stress or spicy food, but by inflammation triggered during bacterial infection. This discovery earned the pair a Nobel Prize. A similar kind of turning point in the road occurred recently in the field of cardiology. Back in the mid-1800s, the famous German pathologist Rudolf Virchow recognized that injured and inflamed arteries might be a source of heart attacks. His idea failed to gain traction during his time and faded away. Later, during most of the last half of the 20th century, the cholesterol theory emerged, and since then lowering cholesterol has become a medical obsession and a multi-billion dollar business for pharmaceutical and food manufacturers. However, medical research has shown that half of all heart attacks and strokes occur among people with normal cholesterol levels. So during the 1980s, some cardiologists began to re-examine Virchow's ideas about inflammation. A major breakthrough came in a series of important studies beginning in 2000. Evidence from a Women's Health Initiative study that monitored the status of 28,000 initially healthy postmenopausal women introduced a new cardiovascular risk factor into the spotlight: C-reactive protein, CRP, a biochemical substance indicating the presence of arterial inflammation. People with the highest level of CRP had 5 times the risk of developing cardiovascular disease and 4 times the risk of a heart attack or stroke compared to individuals with the lowest level. CRP, the researchers said, predicted risk in women who had none of the standard risk factors and was the best predictor among 12 risk factors studied, including cholesterol. Harvard cardiologist Paul Ridker, MD, the lead researcher, said, "We have to think of heart disease as an inflammatory disease, just as we think of rheumatoid arthritis as an inflammatory disease." Dr. Ridker estimated that approximately 25% of Americans have normal to low cholesterol, lulling them into complacency, but at the same time, they have elevated CRP they don't know about. This means that billions of Americans are currently unaware that they have an increased risk for future cardiovascular disease, heart attack, or stroke. Think of low-grade inflammation as a silent creeping fire, consuming arterial tissue. It leads to the weakening and eventual rupture of arterial plaques that directly trigger heart attacks and stroke. The CRP inflammation link helps explain why so many heart attack and stroke victims have normal cholesterol levels. Another example of a common disorder increasingly being seen as inflammation-related is diabetes. In type 1 diabetes, the kind that affects youngsters, the body's immune system attacks the pancreatic cells that make insulin. Insulin is the hormone responsible for controlling the blood sugar level and opening cell doors to sugar for use in energy production. Recent research also suggests that type 2 diabetes, the most common form of the disease and generally occurring in adulthood, begins with insulin resistance. This means that energy production stops responding properly to insulin. The reason for this, researchers believe, is an excess of inflammatory substances released from fatty tissue, particularly in the abdomen. Fat cells, once thought to be merely storage depots for energy and metabolically inert, are now known to be hotbeds of inflammation. This connection helps explain why obesity leads to diabetes. In addition, some studies suggest that eating certain foods may stoke more inflammation in the body and raise the risk of diabetes. They include foods high in sugar and other sweeteners, white flour products, trans fats, polyunsaturated vegetable oils, and processed meats. It seems that hardly a day goes by without some new study pointing the finger at runaway inflammation as the core of some disease. Inflammatory diseases have become a global epidemic and include some of the most devastating disorders of our time. Along with the continuing flow of revelations regarding inflammation, researchers have also accumulated much evidence demonstrating that painful conditions are often the result of acute or chronic inflammation. One pain expert recently postulated that the origin of all pain is inflammation and the inflammatory response. Many physicians and researchers wonder what has caused inflammation to become so dangerously commonplace. When asked what causes inflammation in the first place, Harvard's Dr. Ridker said this: "We are witnessing evolutionary biology in action. An adaptive response, inflammation, in the past is now maladaptive in our current modern environment." The discovery of the relationship of grounding to inflammation suggests that the once adaptive response called inflammation has maybe gone sour because of an electron deficiency from loss of direct contact with the Earth. Enter Earthing, the missing link. The land and seas of planet Earth are alive with an endless and constantly replenished supply of electrons. By making direct contact with the surface of the planet, the skin of our bodies touching the skin of the Earth, our conductive bodies naturally equalize with the Earth. Figuratively speaking, we refill the electron level in our tank that has become low. How do we know that the body absorbs those electrons? There are a number of ways we know. One is common sense. The Earth is negatively charged. It has an endless supply of negative charge-free electrons. Anytime you have two conductive objects and they make contact, such as your bare feet in the ground, electrons will flow from the place where they are abundant to the place where there are fewer of them. The electrical potential of the two objects will thus equalize. That's grounding. Similarly, when you stick a ground rod in the earth, it allows the electrons to flow from the earth via a wire into an object. It could be a refrigerator, the shielding around a cable TV system, or you. Your body is conductive, like the fridge. If you have a battlefront with positive charge free radicals running amok inside your body, guess what's going to happen when you make contact with the earth? Big negative charged earth overwhelms little positive charged free radicals. Science backs up the common sense. Science tells us that the body is one dynamic conductor of electrical impulses. Or in the words of biophysicist James Oshman, the living matrix. Cells contain an internal framework known as the cytoskeleton that connects all parts of the cell, from the nucleus to the outer membrane. This scaffolding includes molecules that conduct energy and information inside each cell and outward to the surrounding environment, and in the opposite direction from the environment to the innermost parts of the cell and nucleus. Similarly, the surrounding environment, from your head to your toes, contains an extracellular network of conductive collagen and other proteins that are hardwired to cell membranes. Thus, the living matrix inside and outside cells provides a body-wide network for antioxidant electrons, a pathway hooking up all parts of the body, including the nervous system, and all sensory receptors with all parts of every cell, including the genome in every cell. This pervasive system has extensions into every nook and cranny of the body and really represents, when you think about it, the largest organ system in the body. It is the stuff of all living structures. When you think of yourself as an antenna, as the French agronomist Matteo Tavera describes all living things, you can see how we fit neatly into a universal energy continuum. We and the stars are bathed in it. Medical science utilizes the concept of the living matrix in a very practical and helpful way. Doctors use electrophysiology and biomedical instrumentation such as EKGs, EEGs, and EMGs as diagnostic tools to monitor the electrical activities of the heart, brain, and muscles. These devices follow certain conductive pathways existing between internal organs and the body's skin surface, and vice versa. The readings from the interior follow pathways to the skin surface, where they are picked up by electrode patches and led to the measuring devices. Pacemakers, defibrillators, and electroacupuncture demonstrate how this conductivity works in reverse, from the skin to the tissues and organs inside the body. Electrons are the smallest possible negative charges of electricity. It is well established that negative charges, electrons, are attracted to positive charges, free radicals. Connecting the body to the earth automatically enables the conductive tissues of the body's living matrix to become charged with the earth's free electrons. When this occurs, excess or residual immune response free radicals suddenly have, as the old song goes, the object of their affection, a readily available supply of free electrons to bond with and reduce their oxidative and inflammatory mode. They are neutralized, quenched, satiated, and satisfied. Kind of like giving the kids the keys to the ice cream store or opening the blood bank to Dracula. As a result, the addiction of immune system-produced free radicals to oxidize healthy tissue to obtain their fix of missing electrons naturally disappears. The rampage is naturally inhibited, and with it the underlying mechanism of chronic inflammation and autoimmune disease. The body naturally conducts and becomes charged with the Earth's free electrons. That is, it equalizes and maintains the natural electrical potential of the Earth. The end result, our observations and research indicate, is that the reconnection prevents or reduces chronic inflammation and consistently speeds recovery from exhaustion, acute trauma, and minor injuries. You'll read how that plays out in the very dramatic stories we've collected in part 4 of this book. Typically, there's a quick reduction in inflammation-related aches and pain. Some acute headaches can vanish within minutes. The intensity of chronic pains often lessens significantly in 20 to 40 minutes. The effect of earthing on inflammation and pain was dramatically demonstrated in a series of case studies conducted with thermography during 2004 and 2005. Thermography, also known as infrared imaging, is a non-invasive clinical technique that analyzes the skin surface temperatures as a reflection of normal or abnormal human physiology. The technique utilizes sophisticated computerized technology to translate temperature data and produce an image that is then evaluated for signs of possible disease or injury. The procedure has been around for more than 30 years and featured in thousands of medical studies. Among other things, it is widely used to help diagnose breast cancer, diabetes, nervous system and metabolic disorders, injuries, headaches, and pain syndromes, neck and back problems, and arterial disease. William Amula, DC, president of the International Academy of Clinical Thermography, performed earthing studies on 20 patients with a variety of complaints, including chronic myofascial pain syndrome, muscular strains, ligamentous sprains, peripheral neuropathies, carpal tunnel syndrome, inflammatory joint conditions, Lyme's disease, and chronic sinusitis. The subjects were either grounded with conductive electrode patches in his office or slept on a grounding bedpad at home. The results showed, through dramatic pictures, a major and rapid impact on inflammation and pain. Some patients experienced improvement in just one session. Within 2 to 4 weeks, up to 80% improvement occurred in the cases that were followed up. 60% of cases were followed. With ongoing grounding over weeks and months, the patients continued to get relief, feel better, and in some cases, their symptoms vanished altogether. The moment your foot touches the earth, or you connect to the earth through a wire, your physiology changes, Dr. Oshman says. An immediate normalization begins, and an anti-inflammatory switch is turned on. People stay inflamed because they never connect with the earth, the source of free electrons, which can neutralize the free radicals in the body that cause disease and cellular destruction.